the headquarters and offices of the Overcome Ministry, we bring you America's Praying Prophet and the international radio broadcast, The Overcomer. Don't touch that dial. We've got something special for you today, and God will bless you real good. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to carry you under the gospel big top tent at the camp meeting in Walterboro, South Carolina, where yours truly, America's Praying Prophet, is preaching a powerful message from the Word of God. My grace is sufficient, the Bible says. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Isn't that wonderful? Well, we just thank God for the privilege of broadcasting today, and I pray that you will feel what we feel. If I can use that word, in our spirit, in our soul, God's grace is sufficient. Look up. Be encouraged. Jesus Christ is Lord. Why not just come along and sing a little bit with me? Come on. Just join right in with these fine singers.
Relief.
Ah, yes. How precious.
How precious did that grace appear the hour that I first.
I like this verse. I like this one.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we will have known less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
God bless you. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a moment at the close of the broadcast to talk to you again and to pray with you. God is good. Amazing grace. Of problems. Yes, he did. He had to put Paul through tribulations and persecutions and necessities. And Paul said, I got so upset with everything going wrong, I'd go out in the woods and I'd get on my face and I'd pray. He'd say, oh, God, make this devil leave me alone. Here was a man who had power to cast out devils and couldn't get the devil off his back. Come on. And God said, no, Paul, I ain't going to do it until you learn your lesson. And finally, one day, Paul said, God, what in the world are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to teach me? And God said, I ain't going to tell you, and I'm not going to teach you until you're willing to listen and willing to learn. Come on, people. And I'll keep on pushing you until I get you in the place where you're willing to listen and you're willing to learn. And finally, one day, Paul was broken. Broken so bad he didn't know what to do, and he cried out, oh God, help me. He said, I went to them the third time. The third time I went back to him, and I said, God, will you please tell me, what does he want me to learn? What do you want me to listen to? And God said, Paul, I believe you're ready now. I believe you're ready now. And here's what I want to teach you, Paul. And here's what I want to tell you. And I want you to hear what I'm going to tell you. And I want you to learn what I'm going to teach you. And I'm trying to tell you tonight. And some of you people, if you don't open up your heart, if you're somehow sitting right there, right now, I'm listening. I'm talking to you. I can feel your spirits. Oh, you're self-satisfied. Come on, self-contented spirit. You think everything cool. Amen. Well, I hope God wipes it away. I hope He stirs you up all night long. Somebody say amen. Because unless you hear what I'm going to say and learn what I'm going to teach you, you're going to have a hard time making it in this life. And God finally said to Paul, the thing I want to say to you and the thing I want you to learn is that my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. I am able to save you, able to keep you. No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Oh, hallelujah. You're still not getting the message yet, so I'm going to keep on talking tonight. God's grace. Remember the old song, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sins. Do you ever stop to realize how sinful and evil and wicked you were? Just look at you now since you've been saved. And watch how mean and ornery you get now. With Christ. Can you imagine what you must have been without Christ? Just look how impatient and disturbed, come on, and upset we get now with Christ. Can you imagine what you must have been like without Him? No wonder your old man didn't want to get along with you. No wonder your neighbors didn't love you. Come on, people. Amen. Oh, nah, I wasn't that bad, brother. I wasn't. Now, don't you put that off on me. I was a good person. I never done nobody wrong. I always tried to do you lying low down. Now you're a hypocrite. You ain't never tried to do right. You could even do right if you wanted to. Without Christ, you could do nothing. Come on. And the Bible said there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after righteousness and none that seeketh after the way of peace. And you were no different. Come on. You didn't find. Somebody said, I found the Lord. You weren't even looking for Him. Ain't nobody who ever sought the Lord found Him. He found you, folk. You didn't even know the way. Come on, if you look for Him, you didn't even know which way to go. You joined the church, shook a preacher's hand, got baptized and said, I'm saved. And finally, you're still raising hell. Come on. You didn't even know the way. You didn't find the Lord. He found you. Come on, people. Jesus said He came to seek and to save the lost. I wonder why He had to seek them. He had to seek them if they were looking for Him. Saved people today don't realize that you didn't find Him. He found you. There isn't a person here who went to get saved. We went to church and went some other place for some other reason. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we'll go to church to get prayed for our body or to pray for our family. Like the young man came out here the other day, wanted me to pray for his wife to have a baby. I said, why don't you get saved first? Amen. Get saved first. Come on, people. Get right with God first. Folks, I want a better job, or I want this, or I want that. Get saved first. Get right with God first. Amen, Brother Stair. Hallelujah. You see, what I'm trying to do here in no uncertain terms is I'm trying to impress you with your sinfulness.
Somebody said, but now wait a minute. I'm saved and I don't sin no more. You liar. You low-down scoundrel, you are worse than the worst hypocrite out there in the street. I'm so tired of these sanctified, holy people saying, I don't sin no more.
Ain't a person in this tent who hasn't sinned today. Not a one of you. The Bible said, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And don't tell me you've done everything today that you know was good to do. Don't tell me you did it. Did you go to the prisons? Did you visit the hospitals? Did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Those are good things, aren't they? And you didn't do them, and you know they were good to do. But I didn't have the time. What were you doing? Watching Love Is a Many Splendid Thing, or As the World Turns? You know what the Bible tells us about people? The Bible tells us in no uncertain terms that God made a conclusive decision about all mankind. The Bible said God gave a law, and in that law He made a conclusion. Do you know what the conclusion means? How many know what the word conclude means? Anybody know what it means? Huh? Now, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Listen, the end of it. There's no more arguments after this. This is the final result. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole thing. And the Bible said God made a conclusion. He gave a law. He gave a law, Ten Commandments, said keep it. And he proved that nobody could keep it. And so that law made a conclusion that all men are sinners. Because you break one law, you're guilty of it all. And every man stands guilty before God. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Not for you only, but for the sins of the whole world. And that included your sins. He died for your sins. Somebody said to me, Brother Stable, when I get saved, I quit sinning. And I keep telling people this. I keep telling people this over and over again. That is one of the most detrimental doctrines that ever been put out in the church. For people to think that they have quit the sinning business. Because if you eat too much, you sin. If you talk too much, you sin. If you listen to some gossip too much, you sin. If you sit around and pout, you sin. Come on, if you murmur, you're a sinner. If you're a complainer, you're a sinner. If you're impatient, you sin. If you fear, you're sin. If you have doubt, you're sinning. Come on, people. Amen. The trouble with us is we catalog sins. We catalog sin. What I mean by cataloging is we have a way of separating sins, and we always know how to talk about the ones we ain't guilty of. And we always have a habit of making sure we know the sin the other fellow's guilty of. For instance, holiness people for general will jump on people's drinking terrible. Oh, yes. Even Baptist folk will get out here and they will jump on somebody for drinking and getting drunk, and they'll walk around with a cigarette in their mouth. Now, I don't know which one's more bound, the man who drinks or the man who smokes. I think they're both pretty well in the same category. Somebody says, smoking ain't a sin. It sure is.
Somebody said, you can't show me tobacco in the Bible.
Huh? I can show you the Bible said that if you're a servant to anything and you're bound by it, if you're bound by eating, you're a sinner. Come on, folk. If you're bound by it, and don't tell me. I had a young man some time ago tell me about smoking. He said, I can quit smoking any time I want. I said, yeah, well, go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and do it. Do yourself a favor and do it. Well, I can if I want. I said, well, then just do it. Don't tell me you can do it. That don't prove nothing. Just go ahead and quit. Just go ahead and quit. Nobody can do it. You know you can't. You're going to have God's help to do it. It's going to take the power of the grace of God to help people quit the sinning business. And the only power that's going to help you is forgiveness. There is no other way to get rid of sin but to forgive it. Can you understand that? The only way you're going to break the power of sin is to forgive it. You can condemn it. You can criticize it. You can find fault with it. You can label it. But it's still there. The only way you're going to break the power of sin is to forgive it. And the only way you're going to get it forgiven is to confess it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm on the right track, folks. Amen. That's why the Bible said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And there's something about the power of forgiveness that makes you want to rise above the power of sin. Oh, hallelujah. If you've ever been truly sorry for your sin and you repent of it, that forgiveness that comes to you gives you power to overcome your sin. Oh, does anybody understand what I'm saying? Does anybody... Oh, that is so magnificent. That is, Lord, y'all excuse me, all right. God, I'm saying that what I just said is absolutely superb. That is better than a 5-cent lollipop when I was 2 years old. Amen. Did you hear what I said? I said the only way you're going to get rid of sin is through the power of forgiveness. Oh, I hope you're working right, tape recorder, because I'm putting this out good. The only way to get rid of sin is through the power. Have you ever really truly been sorry for something? Have you ever really hurt somebody and you were so sorry for it you would have rather die? And when that person forgave you, you tried to make it up to them. You never allowed that to happen again. You know why? Because the power of forgiveness gave you power to overcome that sin. Oh, hallelujah. And that's what God's done, folk. He has taught us how to be appreciative of His forgiveness. And because we learn that we are forgiven, hallelujah, that forgiveness, that feeling of being forgiven, that mercy that's been extended to us, makes us want to please Him, makes us want to do His will, to where we walk softly and tread softly that we might be pleasing in His sight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 What did God do with your sins? Just what did God do with your sins? What did God do with your sins? What did God do with your sins? There are many defeated Christians who have never learned how to overcome the attacks of the accuser, the devil, because they are ignorant as to what happens to sin after they have confessed it and forsaken it. What happened to your sins? You know, David sinned against God, and I've said this 1,000 times in my preaching. If David was living today, the man who wrote the 23rd Psalm and the 121st Psalm, the one who said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, and the one who wrote the 91st Psalm, everybody knows David, don't we? Oh, beautiful David sang on his harp. If David was living today, and most people knew what kind of man he was, they would never sing his psalms. David was a murderer. He was an idolater. He was a liar. He was a cheat. You know what David did one time? David sent his army off to battle. You know why he did that? Because next door to him lived a woman named Bathsheba. And Bathsheba liked to lay in the sun. And she would go up on the rooftop of her little house every day in the afternoon and take off her clothes. And she was a beautiful woman. And she'd lay out there in the sun. But David's palace was higher than her roof. And David every afternoon somehow found himself up in the tower looking over at Bathsheba. And one day he said to himself, that is good looking stuff. Now you see some of you already getting upset with me.
Somebody said, don't talk like that.
Well, it's in the Bible. The most lurid story you ever saw. It's a lurid story. Hey, honey, you can make a triple X movie out of that. I mean, you can put that on the Late Show and not get by with it. And David, because he was king one day, he sent for Bathsheba. He said, go over there next door and tell that lady I want to see her. Of course, he was king. So she had a cover. So she came over there and she stood there in front of him. You know where her husband was? Her husband had joined David's army. And David had sent him off to war to get him out of the way. Slick, wasn't he? Well, he's slick as a whip, huh? Sent him off to war to get him out of the way. He came over there and he called old Bathsheba and he said, I'll tell you what now. He said, I want you over here tonight at bedtime because you and I are going to have ourselves a little thing going here. And that night, Bathsheba had a cumber. He was king. Do you understand? She couldn't turn him down. And David laid with her that night, and she became pregnant, became a child. A few months later, her husband's still off fighting the war. A few months later, she come running into David. She said, David, we're in a mess, man. We're in a mess, David. He said, my old man been gone for 3 months, and here I'm with a child. How in heaven's name am I going to tell him where this baby come from? He ain't been here to make it. David said, yeah, we are the problems. I'll tell you what, just leave it to me, honey. I'll take care of everything. Don't you worry about nothing. I'll handle this thing real good. So he sent him running to the front of the battle and asked for her husband to have a furlough. See, David wanted to get her husband home so he could go to bed with his wife so he could blame the kid on him. He was a slick boy. That guy was slick as a whip. Huh? And the husband came home and made it, had a report to David. David said, how's the battle going? They said, fine. Battle's going along real fine. David said, okay. He said, now tomorrow you can go back to the battle, but tonight go home and spend time with your wife. See? But the guy wouldn't do it. The guy went down and slept outside in the courtyard. Next morning they said, David, he didn't go home. David said, what? Oh, my plan ain't working. Bring him back up here. So he brought the guy back and said, man, how come you didn't go home and spend the night with your wife? He said, David, he said, my brothers are out there fighting for their lives. But how could I enjoy the comfort of my wife and my home while my brothers are dying? What kind of character he had. Come on. So David said, boy, you're a good man. Have a drink. And he gave him a drink. And he gave him another one. And he got him drunk. He said, look, man, you ain't fit to go back to the battle. Go home, spend the night with your wife. See, he figured the guy's drunk, he'd head for home, huh? But the guy went down and slept in the courtyard again. He had more principle drunk than some folk do sober. I can just tell. My folk have heard me tell this story before. I'm the only one who tells it like this. Everybody else tells it, it makes it sound good. I tell it the way it ought to sound. Rotten, dirty, filthy. Some folk make David sound like he was a saint. He's a rascal. Ain't no saint about him. He's a rascal. Amen. Hallelujah. And so David brought the fellow back to him again. And you know what he did? He said, how come you didn't go home to your wife? He said, man, I told you last night, my wife, I can't do that with my brothers out there fighting. So David wrote a note, put it in this man's hand, and had him carry it back to his captain. And you know what the note said? You talk about a man being honorable. Now, the scriptures don't imply that he read the note. But if he did or he didn't, he still delivered it. Now, if he didn't read it, that's honorable, because that note was his death warrant. That note was his death sentence. That note was to his captain, you get in a fight tomorrow with our enemy, and you put this fella in a position in the battle formation where I know he will be dead. I want him dead. I want him dead. I want him out of the way. I want this man killed. That was the order from the headquarters. Now, whether the man read the note or not, if he read it and still delivered it, that was honorable. If he didn't read it, how many folk of us could carry a note like that without reading it? Would we want to take a little peek? And if we'd have taken a little peek, you think we still would have delivered it? What a man this was. In comparison to David, he was a saint. Come on, David, he's a rascal. Huh? And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. They got in a battle the next day, and they got him right in a position where the attack would head right on, and he was killed. And it wasn't long, they sent the notice back to David. Your request has been granted. Your servant is dead. His wife began to cry, and David reached out and took her into the home and made her his wife. And everybody said, isn't that nice, nice David, taking in that little widow so that child ain't without a father. All the while, he's the father. What did God do with your sins?
I don't mean to make you angry by talking about David like that, but he was a rascal. And yet he was a man that God said is a man after my own heart. The answer and the solution to that particular incident in the human history was the fact that when David was confronted with the knowledge of his sin, he confessed it. He repented. He said, I have sinned. And a man that does that pleases God greatly. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And if you today would call upon the Lord and repent of your sins, he would forgive even you right now. I'll be back in just a moment to pray with you. Broadcast is designed to inspire faith and to bring conviction for men's sins that they might repent. For except you repent, you perish. I ask you today, would you share an offering with me? Would you let God speak to your heart about being a partner with this ministry? I surely am striving to put this broadcast on many stations. We must preach and reap the harvest and probe men's minds and conscience to seek the Lord while he may be found. Share an offering with me today, won't you? God bless you. We get calls from all over the nation. Just had one a few moments ago from Jacksonville, Florida, St. Louis, Missouri, Louisville, Kentucky. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm so glad to be with you today. Remember, next week at the same time, tune us in if you will. From the international headquarters of the Overcomer Ministry, we bring to you America's Praying Prophet, the Reverend R.G. Stair. This broadcast is originating in our studios in Savannah, Georgia. The Overcomer Ministry is a ministry designed to stir the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. From my mother's womb, God ordained me to be a prophet to this generation. A prophet is not without honor save in his own country, his own land. But still we speak the word of the Lord, knowing full well that God's word will never fail. We publish a magazine called The Overcomer that's sent free and postpaid to 15,000 people. We publish it twice a month. Your copy can be sent to you just by placing your name on our free subscription list. Stay tuned now as we carry you under the tent during our first annual camp meeting in Walterboro, South Carolina. I'll tell you more about it. Let's hear the rest of this song first, shall we? What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. God bless you. I'll be back in just a moment now to bring you that message from under the tent. It's a continuation of the sermon from last week. What did God do with our sins? Where are our sins? I want you to hear it as I bring it to you from our annual camp meeting that took place in Walterboro, South Carolina. Let me get to this song before it quickly runs out. God bless you and stay tuned. Do with your sins. I want to impress you with one little truth tonight, that you have been a wretched sinner. You deserve to go to hell. You do. And I'm going to stand here all night long until I impress you strong enough with that fact. If you get what you deserve, you're going to hell. That's why I keep telling people God doesn't put sinners in hell. He saves sinners. He saves sinners. God don't send nobody to hell for sin. He saves sinners. The people who go to hell are the people who have rejected God's free gift of their salvation. Come on. The price has been paid. Redemption has been brought down. The grace is sufficient. Oh, hallelujah. The job is finished. Christ has done for you what nobody else could do, and you ought to be grateful for it tonight. You ought to raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, my friend, people do not know what happens to their sins. They have been taught what happens to them, how they are cleansed. But we're not taught what God does to our transgressions. Now, we all know what God did to us when He saved us, don't we? He forgave us for our sins, right?
He cleansed us from our sin. He gave us a new character, a new personality. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus, right? But what did he do with our sin? The sin that the devil brings up to you. Oh, how he does it sometimes to me. I'm going to tell you right now, he brings up my past life, brother. He wants to bring up my yesterdays. He wants to remind me about my sins and how in the world could I hold my head up? How in heaven's name, man, can you get up there and preach the way you preach when you know the things you've done and the life you've lived and the sins you committed? Well, you see, I'm trying to tell you, I know my sins have been forgiven. And if I can take you one more step tonight, all of you know your sins have been forgiven. Everyone knows it. But if I can prove to you once and for all that your sins, no matter how great or how big or how miserable they were, can never, 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 never be used against you anymore. We used to sing years ago, they're gone, gone. Hallelujah, they're gone. You ask me why I'm happy? Well, I'll tell you why. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. Now, what did God do with our sins? What did he do with our sins? Do you follow where I'm going? I'm trying to prove to you conclusively and perpendicularly and circumventally what God did with your sins. By studying what God does through the Confess Sin Act and seeing the dramatic change of sin when it removed the enemy, we'll be totally unable to torment you. If you can find out in your mind what God has done with your sins. The Bible teaches very carefully that God doesn't want us to live under condemnation. The Bible said, blessed is the man that condemneth not himself. Self-condemnation is a thing that destroys the lives of Christians over and over again. Why would God use me? Why would God bless me? Don't you know what I've done? Don't you know where I've been? Don't you see how miserable I am? Don't you see how wicked I am? Don't you see how filthy I am? Well, I tell you tonight, I'm going to show you how God sees you. I'm not going to show you how you see yourself. I'm going to show you tonight how God sees you. Confess sin that you confess is blotted out. The confessed sin, and I told you the power to overcome sin is forgiveness. And the way you get sin forgiven is to confess it. And a confessed sin is blotted out so that it is no longer visible in the sight of God. It is blotted out. It never was committed. It has no record to be used against you. It has been blotted out. It is no longer visible. Listen. Listen to this. Listen now. Isaiah 43:25. I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my sake. Not for your sake. Lord have mercy. God talking, folk. Isaiah 43:25. God talking. He says, I. When they said, who are you, God? He said, I am that I am. I am the Almighty God. I'm the big I and you're the little you. He said, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions, and I didn't even do it for your sake. I did it for my own. Lord, I'm getting too deep. I'm preaching a simple subject, but I'm getting too deep. I'm trying to impress you with the fact that God blotted out your sins for his own sake. Not for your sake. You weren't worth it. You weren't worth the price. You weren't worth the sacrifice. You weren't worth what God gave for your sins.
He didn't do it for you. He did it for his own sake. Oh, hallelujah, Lord have mercy. I'm still not making them understand. I'm trying my best to make you understand. God says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. I will not. Jesus accomplished this on the cross. Blotting out, the Bible said, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. It was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. This blotting out of sins is pictured as a fog separating between the believer and his past. I have blotted out as a thick cloud. Listen to this. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. A thick cloud on the ground level is known as a fog. Occasionally, and we hear people say, that fog was so thick that it blanketed the city. We've heard people say, the fog was so heavy, I couldn't see my nose in front of my face. Come on, you've heard people make those kind of expressions. Well, God tells us that he blotted out your transgressions like a fog. He can't see them even though they're stuck right in his face. Hallelujah. 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 He said, I have blotted them out. I have blotted them out. I have removed them. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody lift your hand and say, I love you, Jesus. Woo! How many times do Christians try to gaze into the past? We want to look back. We want to remember. We want to think. But honey, you can't look back because there ain't nothing to look for. Ain't nothing. Listen to this. It is important to remember that God will not remember the sins he has forgiven. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you all think you're really saved tonight, and you all think you really love the Lord, and you can sit here, and so far I haven't touched you with this message, I think before you go home tonight, you ought to repent. You ungrateful, wretched soul who has not yet come to the place where you appreciate the great love of God. Until you cannot be touched anymore with a message of God's forgiveness for your sins. Amen. You hear what I'm saying to you? I think you ought to repent. I'm saying to you tonight, it is important for you to remember that God will not remember sins that he has forgiven. When God forgives, he also forgets. Listen to this. Hebrews 10:17. Listen. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God has promised that he will forget our sins. Listen to this. I will not remember your sins. Here's the point I want to bring out by emphasizing that. It doesn't say he cannot remember them. It doesn't say he cannot. He says, I will not. I will not. It's a choice that I have made. It is a promise that I have given. It is security that I have offered. It is salvation that I have procured. Come on. And because I'm God, I will not. Well, Lord, I hope you help me understand. Lord, lift up your hand and say, praise God. Reach over and touch somebody and say, I'm so glad Jesus forgives me for my sins. He said he will not recall them. He has drawn a curtain behind which all of our sins are forgotten, never to be remembered against us again. Now, just because God has forgotten our sins, just because God has forgotten our sins does not mean that the devil has. He still remembers our yielding to his temptations. He still remembers our attempts to give in to him. And he remembers the regret and the guilt in us by causing us to remember them. But what do you care tonight if the devil remembers? God forgets. Teresa, bless her heart, was in the room tonight. She started to cry. She said, honey, I don't want to go out there and play that organ. I don't want to do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do a good job. And I said, that's just not true. I said, everybody loves that. And she says, I said, let me tell you something. Who's telling you that? Who's telling you that? Well, the answer was obvious. It wasn't God, because God said, I can do all things. Very obvious. Very obvious. Come on. Very obvious. God says you can do all things. God never says you can do it. God says you can do all things. Paul said all things are lawful. You can do all things. So the answer was very obvious. God was not telling her that. The devil was. And the devil is the father of lies. And so what do we care what he says? Come on. Amen. God says you can make it. God says you can be healed. God says you can overcome. God says you can make it, honey. And whatever God says, you can do it. I don't know what the devil says. Why the devil tells me every night I can't preach. Sometimes he tells me in my spirit. Sometimes he tells me in my mind. And sometimes he tells me through my best friend. Then I come out here every night and start preaching to prove he's a liar. When I first started to preach years ago, I was only 18. And the first sermon I ever preached, I preached in my father-in-law's church. And he was the preacher. He preached for 50 years. He had three boys who were preachers. And when I preached the first time I preached 10 minutes. My teeth chattered. My knees knocked. And I'd have sworn I preached 2 hours. I was scared. I was scared, brother. When I sat down, boy, I said, Lord, this ain't for me. I ain't no preacher. When I got all done, my three brother-in-laws took me aside and they said, Ralph, we listened to you preach tonight. And it was a good effort, but boy, you ain't no preacher. You just ain't no preacher. And I said, okay. But God had called me to preach, see? Those three boys have all quit preaching. My father-in-law's dead, and I'm still preaching. Hallelujah. They told me, said, you better go get a job. You won't be able to support our sister. Well, I went and kept on preaching, and I'm still supporting her sister. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, people. Lift up your hand and say, praise the Lord. Oh, you see, if you could understand what God has done for you. Another Bible picture of doing away of sin is seen in the book of Psalms. David was instructing his soul to bless the Lord. Psalms 103. He said, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities. Psalms 103:1-3, the Lord forgives all the iniquities of the soul. Later in that psalm, David is singing, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, David didn't know back there 4,000 years ago what science was going to later prove to be a remarkable, knowledgeable truth.
I'm going to cut in here and try to finish this just by talking to you, because that tape, I'll tell you, I used that tape several times at the camp meeting, and it just stretched out of shape, and that was a very good message. But David didn't know. He just didn't know when he wrote what science was going to later discover, as you and I all know, that there is no distance between east and west. He'd have said north and south, then you would have known that you could be measured. In other words, if your sins were separated from you as far as the north and from the south, you're going north so long, and then all of a sudden you're going south, so your sins would come back to you. But you know as well as I do that when you're going east, you can't end up going west, and when you're going west, you can't end up going east. And God removed your sins so that they could never be found. As far as the east is from the west, and that is an indefinite length, or how would I say, distance. It cannot be measured. You just, if you start going east,
and keep going east, you will never get west. If you start going west and keep going west, you will never go east. And so, my friends, so it is with your sins. If you start out going looking for sins that God has moved from us, you're just never going to find them, because you will never get to that place where God has put them. Another thing the scripture said, he cast them behind his back. With his long arm, he cast them behind his back. And they're still going in the opposite direction of God, because the scripture said that God does not repent. That means he never turns around. He never looks back. You know, that is remarkable, isn't it? That God in his infinity is constantly moving ahead. Now, somebody said, preacher, that's an impossibility. Well, it might be as far as humans are able to understand and comprehend. But God is God. He is without a beginning. He is without an ending. He has created time. He will do away with time. And where there is no time, it is eternity. No measurements of day or night, of winter and summer and seasons, of distance. Oh, what a great big God we really have. I pray today that this God of ours, he said to Abraham, I am the Almighty God. And then he made one other statement. Besides me, there is no other. In other words, he's saying, I am the only God. The only one you will find if you seek for a God. The only one you will be able to accept if you decide to believe in a God. The only one that you will be able to worship if you love that God. And if you're looking for anything else, you're coming up short, for there is none. No wonder Peter said, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God deals only in the presence, the present tense. There is no yesterdays, and there are no tomorrows with God, only humanity. God looks down, and in one great big look, he sees your beginning and your end. Then he charts your course and schedules your life. Your life is hid with Christ in God. My dear friend, look up today. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Be responsive to him. Open your heart. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Heavenly Father, I just feel the need of praying. Words seem so inadequate today. Dear God, won't you touch the hearts of our listeners now? You have said very carefully and very clearly that no man come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Draw them to you, Lord. Open their hearts. Open their understanding. Jesus, help me today to comprehend more of your great grace and your divine love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for making it possible. Thy will be done. Oh, Savior, while on others thou art calling, please, God, don't pass us by. Make us truly overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. My time is slipping by quickly on the Overcomer broadcast today. Have you felt the inspiration of the Holy Ghost? Is God dealing with you to come to him that labor and are heavy laden? I'll give you rest, he said. Take my yoke upon you. Oh, give up and turn over to God. This broadcast is paid for and sponsored by you, the listener. Your love gifts, your gifts of appreciation, your faith offerings will help us maintain this radio station and others that we are endeavoring to go on. Won't you share with us today? Give, and it shall be given unto you. This is the word of the Lord. God bless you. You're listening to America's Praying Prophet. This is Brother Stair. That's right. Your offerings are tax deductible. May God bless you until I hear from you or till the next broadcast. And remember, God is still alive. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's coming again. Look up and be encouraged. Go with God. God bless you.